You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
And we kick things off as usual with how the markets have been moving throughout the day. I'm joined on the line by Head of Research at F&B Wealth and Investments, Chantel Marks, to take a look at some of the market movements and see if we can make sense of them. Good evening, Chantel. Lovely to speak to you. Let's start with local markets. We'll go to international markets in a second. Let's start with local markets. It seems as though markets are finding their footing. Some sense seems to be returning to the markets, because following the Trump trade, I didn't know whether we were going left or right or up or down.
Yes. And I mean, if you look at intraday trading, it still seems a little bit topsy-turvy, but generally we seem to be moving slightly higher. I mean, a day like today, usually we would have ended, well, a year back, we would have definitely ended in the red, and we wouldn't have seen support from the mid-cap space and the small-cap space and financials. So I think that at least from that perspective, there seems to be some support for the SA Inc. trade still, even though we don't know what a Trump 2.0 actually holds in.
Chantel, when we look at some of the commodities counters, I mean, resources were the leading index, or the leading sector rather, for the day. Commodities pricing last week was torrid to look at. This week, not better, but significantly better than it was last week.
Yes, it does. It does look a little bit better. I think to a certain extent, the dollar strength that we've seen has faded somewhat, so that impact isn't as pronounced. And we have seen gold do particularly well. So if we look at golds today, Harmony, for example, up 4.4%, Goldfields up 3.9%, Pan African up 4.8%. I think a lot of that, that gold price strength being reflected in the resources sector performance on aggregate today. And that's a function of a little bit of fear returning to markets. There's some renewed rumblings around Russia and Ukraine. And I think that has resulted in the gold price pushing higher, and then, of course, that fading effect from a stronger dollar last week.
That Russia-Ukraine war hitting 1,000 days since it was officially begun, and that's obviously still weighing in on sentiment 1,000 days later. Chantel, let's look at some of the international markets. Asian markets all having a green day, whereas European markets all had a red day. Now, we do have some data points that are coming out. We do have CPI coming out of the Eurozone at some point. We've got South African CPI as well, set to come out as well. And, of course, our own interest rate decision that's still to come this week. Take me through just what you've seen in the international space in today's movements.
Yes, so I think from a European market perspective, we do have inflation numbers on the cards, and markets do tend to be quite nervy around those readings. And I think for Europe, it's even more pronounced, because they do have a growth problem, and the expectation is that if inflation can remain in check, they could see interest rate cuts, and that could be in aid of growth. That tends to filter through or jump over the pond to the UK as well. And then the UK has the added pressure, I think, of also being a commodity-heavy bourse. So they tend to be quite impacted by commodity pricing as well. I think that is basically why you are seeing a little bit of a discrepancy in trading between European and Asian markets. And then, of course, Japan kind of does its own thing, because the Japanese economic makeup currently is so unique relative to the rest of the world. And monetary policy has diverged completely from the rest of the world. So they tend to kind of run in their own direction. And in China, it's all about stimulus. I think that investors have been underwhelmed by what we've seen so far, but I think that the hope is still there that something really meaningful will come through to help the consumer that side.
Chantel, when we look at US markets as well, they have their own sets of challenges to deal with in the form of Donald J. Trump, who will be returning to the White House, whether we like it or not. We saw inflation print come through last week. No surprises there. We kind of know that the cabinet changes that are going to be implemented are going to be quite significant from a US perspective. How are the markets kind of trying to anticipate that and price that in? I mean, I'm looking at things like bond yields. They're still ticking higher, as though we might be in for a recession. But at the same time, we are expecting interest rate cuts, in fact, two for the rest of the year.
Yes, so I think that bond yields are basically expressing the expectation that inflation could pick up again, because some of the policy measures that were put forward by Trump on the campaign trail will theoretically be inflationary, like the introduction of some very, very stringent tariffs. So whether or not that gets implemented and when that gets implemented, I think will have an impact on inflation. But what the Fed can do right now, and the only thing they can do right now, is look at the data that is in front of them. And the data is still saying that inflation is continuing to tick down. Inflation seems to be contained for the moment. The jobs market is pretty strong. The housing market looks okay, even though we do have some lumpy data here and there telling us that things aren't looking that great. So they'll maintain their near-term trajectory. The question mark is around how deep and long this cutting cycle is going to be now that we've got a change at the helm. And that they don't know. They can't really make decisions based off of an if, maybe, or when.
Chantal, one final question. I'm hoping you know the answer to this. Where's the Rand going to be at the end of the year?
So, technically speaking, the Rand should strengthen from current levels. It does seem a little bit oversold at the moment. In the same breath, the US dollar seems a little bit on the strong side at the moment, particularly if we look at near-term rate cuts. So technically and theoretically, it should be stronger at the end of the year. But a lot of that will depend on market sentiment, and that's impossible to predict. We don't know if there's going to be further escalation on the war front. We don't know what the market perception is going to be around Trump 2.0 at the end of the year. There's still a lot to digest there. So sentiment driven, I have no idea. But if we were just looking at fair valuations, the Rand should be stronger at the end of the year.
When you say stronger, Chantal, give me a number. 1750, 17, 1550?
Yeah, I mean, probably between 1715 and 7050.
Okay, that's not so bad. I think we can sort of live with that for the year. I mean, we would want to obviously see below 17 Rand. There were analyst calls for 1680, but I suppose that might be subject to a lot of those factors that you mentioned still being outstanding, and of course how things will shape up. We'll leave it at that, Chantal. Thank you as always for the time and for the insights. That's Chantal Marks, Head of Research at FNB Wealth and Investments, taking us through the market movements throughout the day, some Rand expectations, as well as what could potentially be driving market sentiment around the world.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.